This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, good afternoon, Melbourne. Happy Easter to all of you. This is the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. And thank you, Word for Word and Tez Spins, for that fabulous news read today.
We're all informed.
Can you believe it? Now, one thing I want everyone on the panel to agree today. We are not going to talk about boring old cricket.
Bathing in all those straight white men's tears.
Before we go to air, I let everybody know that I've got a great big roll of sandpaper down my cricket pants today. And it doesn't feel like I'm cheating.
Actually,
let me tell you.
What is the front cover of the Northern Territory Times or News was, I've got a little sticky down near my dicky.
Yeah. They're hilarious. Right. The NT News are hilarious.
They do know how to make it happen, don't they? Yeah. Okay, so my name's Russ Masterton and you are on the Escape Hour. Across the panel from me, I've got one of our gorgeous regulars, the lovely, the divine, the one and the only, Fiona Brooke.
How are you today, introducing gorgeous? Me.
Back off. You get a chance in a minute. Thanks, Russ. It's lovely to be here, as always.
And how's your Easter going, Fi? You just said you've moved in with your better half. We were a bit excited for you about that.
So. It's been quite exciting. And so the last two nights, we've just been having a little party. Our own little party, just the two of us.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's been really fun. Little honeymoon phase.
Yes.
Loving it. Lots of cuddles, lots of coziness, a bit of cooking and a bit of like,
why?
The dishwasher has not been unpacked yet.
Oh, okay, yeah. Don't worry, those rules come as time goes on, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know, we've got our things that I do in my house and things that he does in our house, and I'm always whinging and complaining about them.
Well, I must admit, it was really helpful when there was a dead possum in the front yard.
Oh, so you need a man for that?
Yep, and I was like, dude, go take care of that. So that was good.
That's what men are for,
that's
to get rid of the dead possums
and
triantulas and all of those sort of things. Exactly right. And you know,
how frequently do you have triantulas in your home, Russ?
Well, there was one in the bedroom only a couple of months
ago. A triantula?
Yeah.
Maybe it was more like one of those other sort of hairy...
A triantula.
Was it a triantula? What are those Australian spiders called?
Yeah. Like a wolf spider.
Oh, sorry,
or
it was a huntsman. Yeah. I do lie.
Huntsmen
I do lie.
It's so harmless.
It's the sandpaper.
You cheat.
Now, our other regular on the panel, whom we just absolutely adore, is Mr. Mark Adams. How are you?
I'm very well. Happy Passover. Happy Easter.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
Is anyone painting lamb's blood on their doors so God knows which children to kill?
Well, I don't know. I got a text from a friend yesterday saying, praise the Lord, he has risen. And I went, goodness me, if only I was that religious. I don't even know what that means. But I went and opened up a bit of chocolate and ate that and said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for this piece of chocolate.
Which is what you do, isn't it?
No, I actually think I think that instead of eating chocolate, I prefer French champagne.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes, we cracked a bottle of Moët at the office on Friday afternoon and then drank that, and then everyone went home early. I was like, I really need to leave this office right now.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Now, aside from it being Easter, which is a very important time of the year for people, families like to get together.
Big family time.
However you choose to celebrate, people down at the coast at the moment enjoying the beautiful weather down at the beach. Tomorrow is, in fact, April Fool's Day.
Indeed it is.
So that's when this is an opportunity for you to tell all the children to find all those eggs but not put any eggs anywhere.
Oh, I've got a better idea.
And then it's like, April Fool's, no eggs.
Well, you know what my plan is? I'm unwrapping all of our eggs tonight, and I'm going to put little mini cherry tomatoes in them and wrap them all up and then give them out to everybody tomorrow. What do you think?
Grapes.
Oh, yeah, and grapes.
I think that would be delicious.
Cherry tomatoes or grapes, what do you think?
Well, I mean, grapes, yes, definitely. Cherry tomatoes, a unique combination. You could start a food trend, Russ, with that.
Well, I just want to see them crying. being the, you know, the child lover that I am.
Bless.
So April Fool's tomorrow, so get your tricks out. What have you ever had an April Fool trick played on you, Mark? Or have you ever played?
Not really. I'm not much of a wily trickster with things like that.
No,
it's fun enough, whatever. So,
Have you been caught?
No, not really. I just think I've come through 46 of them rather unscathed.
You're lucky.
Perhaps in primary school there were gags and things like that, but I mean, I think April Fool's, well, it's really a lost day. Like, I'm not sure how many people are really getting into April Fool's.
Oh, well, I still get the Glad Wrap out and put it over the toilet seat. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, but you know, it's just one of those things that I choose to do.
Yeah.
And he falls for it every year.
Does he really?
Oh, he does. It's terrible.
That's hilarious. See, that's funny.
That is funny. He never checks.
Oh, so you're really into these jokes?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, do you?
I love it, absolutely.
You should ask some tips for what we should be doing tomorrow.
Oh, I played a trick on one of my office manager last year, and no, I'm not going to go there. I've completely changed my mind. It's not good for. It's not good for.
You don't want to enliven the Fair Work Act.
The perfect mix of music, news, and interviews. Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9. You're on the Escape Hour. My name's Russ Masterton, and we are about to go to Ireland.
Ireland.
You know, that is one of the things that were on my list today that I want to discuss later, that you never should, if you're not Irish, don't even bother faking an Irish accent.
Yeah, wise.
Wise. Wise, yeah. Anyway, moving right along, Fiona would like to introduce our guests,
I would definitely like to introduce our guests. So now, you may or may not be aware, but there's this adorable new little restaurant in Moorabbin called Chameleon Junction, and it's not an Irish restaurant, but we have two people from Chameleon Junction here, one of whom is Irish. I'd like to welcome to the studio Maeve Nilanigan and Tinka Lauder from Chameleon Junction. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you very much.
So we are going to talk all about Maeve's country of birth.
But firstly, can we talk about the spelling of your name, which really must freak people out?
It's a bit of an Irish lesson in itself. But DHBH at the end of my name actually makes a V sound. So it makes perfect sense where I'm from, I swear.
Because you're from an Irish-speaking part of Ireland, aren't you? Yeah, so that's your first language.
I grew up in a small rural community, which is an Irish language-speaking community. And in that area, the Irish language has done a huge comeback in the last 30 years.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So you'll have to say something for us in Gaelic right now. Right.
Gidiu, Kajemar Tashiv, Ismishamiv Nilanigan, August Tamayam, Vraudil Varen, Shoan Shoan Yi, August Tasulagum Ga, Munishib Salt as Naradia Talaragum, Padinamachirhin.
Wow.
You're not on SBS, you're on Joy 94.9 here at 17 minutes. What was that, Nev?
I just said, hi, it's pleased to be here on the show, and I'm very excited to be talking about my home country and sharing all of the wonderful things that I love about it.
Yay! Thank you for doing that.
That's so wonderful. So if anyone does have any questions about Ireland that they'd like to ask Niamh and Tinka today, how can they get in touch with us, Mark?
Oh, Russ, I know how to do this. Started me into action. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. You can SMS 0427 joy 949. Or you can phone in 1300 joy 949. We have a lovely person. I think it's Sam on the desk at the moment.
Neil's on the desk at the moment.
And he's poised in a state of cat-like readiness, waiting to take your call.
So do message us in if you've got any questions about Fabulous
or if you're Irish.
Or if you're Irish and you just want to talk Gaelic
Irish
to
people.
Us.
Yeah, a lot of Irish people in Melbourne.
We're all
a bunch of Gaelicers here today, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Now, while we're on a roll, Tinka, where did that name come from?
It was a nickname that was bestowed upon me by the lovely chefs at the original Stoke House in 2001.
Yeah.
I started my apprenticeship there with two other guys, and the three of us got the nicknames Tinkerbell, Daisy, and Mary Lou. Apprentices get degraded enough as it is. Why not throw some fuel on the fire?
I see what you did there, Stokehouse Fire.
Up here.
I'm pointing at my own. So topical.
Yeah, so Tinkerbell, that's three syllables. That's too many for a kitchen. Got truncated Tinker, and I've been called Tinker for the last 18 years. So, yeah.
And, of course, so Tinker has another business as well as Chameleon Junction, which is Tinker's Fine Food Emporium. Mm. And you make stocks and other foods for other restaurants.
Yep, stock sauces, potato gnocchi, macaroni and cheese croquettes, basically really good chef quality produce made in bulk that we can then distribute to restaurants and function centres.
Well, and now you have Chameleon Junction. Now, how long ago did you guys open Chameleon Junction?
Just over 6 months.
And how's it going?
It is going gangbusters.
Yeah, so Moorabbin, any Moorabbin or Seaside, Bayside dwellers, go and check it out. Now, I believe there is one Irish dish on the menu. Because it's not an Irish restaurant.
Yes, we have an Irish fry on the menu. One of the things that I noticed whenever I first came here is that a lot of the breakfast dishes have wonderfully poached eggs and wilted spinach and avocado, and that's just far too healthy for us.
We not have enough a lot soda
of,
bread.
A lot of carbs, a lot of meat, and a lot of bread. You know, we've got beautiful potato bread and soda bread on our dish in Chameleon Junction, my granny's recipe, which we did because I find it very hard to come by here, and it's one of the things that I miss the most about home, and it just brings me back there every time I have it.
So what is to you quintessential Irish food?
We do a lot of very nice home, you know, cooking, a lot of pub grub, really, really well.
Because Ireland's famous for pub food.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we do Irish stews, which are fantastic. My dad, in particular, does a fantastic Irish stew. But now I've noticed in the past 10 years or so, the restaurant scene in the cities is becoming really, really multicultural and really, really fantastic, and a lot more work is being done in bringing the food scene up to a new level. And
what do you think,
fantastic to see.
What do you think has made that happen? Is because so many Irish people travel? Because Irish people do travel a lot. Do you think it's bringing things back home? Do you think it's just the natural evolution of things? Do you think it's the internet, or is it just Irish people want more?
I think partially, yeah, natural evolution of food, but also a lot more industry is happening back home now. We had the economic issues like of a few years back, and we're coming out of that now, and there's a lot more investment in new venues and new restaurants, and a lot more work being done in that area, and a lot more people from other countries coming and influencing the food and just developing it. And every time I go back, I know there's new restaurants being opened up, and it's all really, really fantastic. I'm enjoying experiencing things for myself for the first time every time I go home for a visit, and it's
because
really
we were talking earlier about the pub culture, and how important. Maybe if you want to give us an idea of the massive importance of the pubs to the community.
Definitely. Well, Belfast is one of the places where I spent a lot of time in my young adult life and going forward, and it's where I was born, it's where half of my family are, so I spend a lot of time there. And the pubs there are not just pubs that you go to or bars, they're institutions in themselves. They've been around for, some of them, hundreds of years. Mm. There's a bar right in the city centre called Kelly Cellars, which has been going for 300 years, unchanged.
Wow.
With the same beautiful interior, and does traditional music. It's got like all of our cultural values still there, and it's beautiful. And they become a part of your life. They're not just a bar that you go to. They are something that become a part of your routine, something that you really identify with in different parts of your life and different memories that you have. And that's one of the things that I really hope to bring to Chameleon Junction in Moorabbin. Like, I want it to be a part of people's lives. We want to share with your celebrations, your commiserations. You want to be there for your morning coffee. We want to be there for your birthdays, your family get-togethers. You know, we want to be there for you in life and celebrate food and wine and everything.
So what's the Irish dish?
Balia fry.
The balia fry.
So explain what that
fry.
Is. What is that?
It's just black pudding. It's got pork sausage. It's got fried eggs, potato bread, soda bread, baked beans, everything.
I guess there's no option for a vegetarian version.
No, there's
you
not
can,
vegan.
Actually, because I am, in fact, a vegetarian. But you just pile on a whole bunch of more mushrooms and baked beans and bread and eggs.
Well, it sounds like a hangover dream come true.
It is
true,
the
isn't
hangover
it?
Yeah. Dream, yes.
How wonderful. So, and how long, the restaurant's been open for 6 months and you said you've been going gangbusters. What's everyone's favourite dish there at the moment?
Actually, one of the most popular dishes is the balia fry, but we've got a fantastic vegan dish that we do, the soba noodle salad, which has buckwheat noodles. It's got beautiful Asian greens. It's got a fantastic creamy sesame sauce and fried marinated
creamy sesame
tofu.
Sauce instead of vinegar base.
Yes.
Well, it's vinegar-based, but it's emulsified. So we get a lot of people saying, are you sure this doesn't have dairy in it? And it's not. It feels and tastes like it has the mouthfeel of mayonnaise, almost.
So how do you do that without eggs?
So what you do is you make sure all the ingredients are icy cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got tahini in it, it's got garlic, it's got ginger. So they're all icy cold. And then when you're slowly adding in the sesame oil, everything emulsifies. And I always stick a few ice cubes in it, it emulsifies to a creamy consistency, but it's still completely dairy-free. The whole dish is vegan.
Dairy and egg-free. Yep.
Sounds so good.
Yeah.
Quite the vegan, quite the vegetarian. So what else on the menu have you got for girls like Fiona who just likes to, like a meat-free dish?
We've also got a black porridge, which is made, which is again vegan, so it's and gluten free.
Wow.
So it's black rice, wild rice, black quinoa, coconut milk. It's got coconut yogurt, caramelized banana. It's got a really nice orange blossom syrup through it. Toasted coconuts and macadamia granola.
I reckon after you eat one of those, you wouldn't need to eat for a week.
How sounds really substantial.
It's very substantial.
Like it's a decent portion size. But
is it served warm?
Yeah. But because it's gluten free, you don't feel it's not stodgy, and you don't feel heavy afterwards. You know. Get on with the rest of your day and kick ass.
Well, it's very important in the hospitality.
We need that, don't we?
We do.
Instead of curling up in the corner and crying, which I think I would do after that fry.
Well, you've got to take care of the vegans and the vegetarians these days.
Absolutely.
Keep them coming
back. There's a lot of them, isn't there?
There is a lot of them.
Absolutely.
The vegan army are out there.
And why did you choose Moorabbin for? Because, Melbourne's a big town. So are you living out in Moorabbin, or is it just because you saw a gap in the market there for a group? Really cool hip-hop and happening place? Or?
Well, we have another business actually based in Moorabbin. We've been there for
5 years almost?
Almost 5 years, yeah. So whenever we heard that the council was redeveloping the area, we thought it would be a fantastic opportunity to open a retail venue close by our other venue, which is a food production kitchen that we produce food that we sell on to other restaurants and cafes.
Right.
So it just made sense to make that next step.
And also, venues that open out in areas where there is not that... many people, not many other offerings are often rewarded very much by loyalty. And so it's a good move, and particularly since it's your first venue, it's a good move. Start there. But as you say, you're not going anywhere. You've got a 20-year lease, so that you're there.
Yeah, really there.
So now you two got married in Ireland relatively recently.
We did, yeah. We got married in July.
In July. How lovely.
Well, that explains everything, because you haven't been able to keep your hands off each other since the show has started. I was starting to think, oh, who can I pour? but it's beautiful to see young love. It's isn't it gorgeous? You know,
us old
50-something-year-olds here all sitting, how do I get that?
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour. Sunny Saturday afternoon in Melbourne on this long weekend. We have Tinka and Maeve in the studio with us today talking all about Ireland. Now, just before we went to a break, we were talking about you got married in Ireland in July, and it was a very traditional ceremony. Is there anything quirky about a traditional Irish ceremony that might interest our listeners?
It's definitely different from Australian ceremonies. We had an Australian ceremony here as well, which was very casual.
Barbecue in the backyard.
Yeah, it was. We got married down at my husband's parents' property. The ceremony lasted 15 minutes. We had we had a wonderful day. But back home, it's a proper religious ceremony. You go to the church, and usually it goes where the woman is from. You go to her local church, and it's an hour-long mass. Mm. You know, it's a very set kind of script, and the priest oversees it, and you sign the papers there, and then you leave. But one of the funniest things that I found from our wedding was, because my husband's family are not very religious, and my niece was there at the ceremony, whenever the priest came out and started speaking and praying in front of everyone, she was learning about God and everything for the first time, and she was like, "Mommy, is that God?" Which I found hilarious, and the priest loved. He was like, "Well, I hoped you told her that I am."
Well, glad he had a sense of humour.
Yeah, the famous Irish sense of humour.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
And
yeah.
So was the wedding held in Belfast or in another smaller town?
So I was born in Belfast, but I grew up in outside of a small town in South Derry in a small Irish language community. And Father Paddy was...
Paddy.
Yeah, definitely. Father Paddy was one of the only priests in the area that could do the ceremony through the Irish language, and he was actually the priest that I grew up with, and it was really beautiful to be able to have him oversee our wedding because it meant a lot.
So that's fine for you because you speak Gaelic. Tinker.
I had to learn all of my vows in Gaelic.
And how did you go with that? Because it's not an easy language.
It's not, and it's not like Spanish or Italian. It's not a phonetic language, so I had to write it down phonetically, the sounds that I had to make, and then I had to stumble them out of my mouth during the ceremony in front of a room of people who
speak the language fluently.
Speak it fluently. I was told afterwards by one of my cousins, who is a lawyer, that because I didn't understand the terms that I was agreeing to, it wasn't it's not legally binding.
Yeah, there's no consensus.
So I got an out if I need it.
No meeting of the minds, but I think that you might struggle. Because you've also had a marriage here, so
we had a commitment ceremony here,
right?
But it was
it wasn't actually legal. There's loopholes all over.
There's loopholes all over the place. Yeah.
So tell us about the area where you had your wedding and what that part of Ireland is like.
Well, I grew up in a small community called Carn Taher, in rural Derry, and it's a beautiful area in the countryside. It's got a lot of history, and we've got a local community centre that me and my family were heavily involved in, an Irish language community centre that does a lot to promote the Irish language in the area, and we work closely with the schools in the area that I actually used to work in, and... it's just beautiful. We've got all over Ireland, there are a lot of standing stones and ritual sites that date back thousands of years. So if you like your history, Ireland is a fantastic place to go.
I can imagine. I recently read that fantastic book by Hannah Kent, which was called The Good People, which was a lot about Irish mysticism. It's so gripping.
Oh, it's amazing. We have so much amazingly rich folklore and stories and history, like the Fenian cycle and everything like that. It's just wonderful. I grew up listening to the stories about the fairy the fairy races and the kings and queens of Ireland. I'm actually named after one of the queens of Ireland, Maeve, Queen of Connacht, who was an amazingly strong warrior queen, who was also a sorceress and who actually defeated one of the most famous warriors of Ireland.
We love her.
It's a bit of a story about you and Tinker, really, isn't it? I'm sensing that. Are you a bit of a river dancer? Because this is the thing that always gets me. I can watch that on TV for hours, river dancing. It's so
definitely
wonderful.
Even still, if I look back at the Eurovision river dance performance, it gives me goosebumps all over. But yeah, I grew up like doing Irish dancing, of course. Everyone does.
Do you need clogs or is it a special shoe that you wear?
Well, whenever you go on from to tap dancing, you get tap shoes, which have like hard souls.
And in Ireland, tell me, would that be a sort of a gay man's thing to do? Would they all be river dancing, or are they, or are the straight men right into it as well?
Well, actually, I don't know. I did it as a child.
So oh, okay.
I haven't been in those circles in a long
time. It sounds like something I'll have to go and find out for myself.
That's right. You go investigate, report back for us.
I will. Don't you worry about that.
So when someone wants to, you know, you probably get lots of people who ask you, what they should do, what are the top stories they should do. And I know that, you know, Tink has come back with you a number of times and you've been revisiting places that you probably know very well. I mean, what would you tell people if they were going to Ireland as some must-see destinations?
Well, obviously Dublin would be a fantastic place to start and probably where you would fly into. But there's so much history there. It's where the first Viking settlements began, and Dublin Castle does fantastic tours. It's got a lot of tours that go around and telling you, like, more recent Irish history, like the 1916 Easter Rising, and how Ireland gained its independence in 1922 from that rising. But it's also got just a beautiful city with restaurants and shopping and it's just well worth a visit. The art scene there is fantastic. The National Art Museum has always got wonderfully interesting exhibits. And, yeah.
What are the main differences between Dublin and Belfast, in a nutshell?
Well, they're two different countries. They're in two different countries.
They're in two different countries,
We don't want to have another Easter uprising.
No, we're just going to sidestep that mind. I'm sorry, what did you ask?
Like some of the differences between Belfast and Dublin.
Because geographically they're quite a way away.
Dublin's just a lot bigger. Mm. A lot bigger. Belfast is a surprisingly small city that you can get around really easily, whereas Dublin is one of those places that I haven't actually spent a huge amount of time personally. But yeah, it's so rich in history and well worth a visit. In Belfast, it is different in the fact that it is obviously under British rule, and that in itself has
complexities
and sensitivities that you have to be mindful of, and different areas have a different feel, and you do just have to be aware of it. But in the city centre itself, that's completely unaffected. Like it's just open for everyone and welcoming, and it's just a great place to spend some time.
Have you ever had a drink called an Irish car bomb?
No.
Oh, see, I just do all of this fabulous homework and it's not right. What the hell?
No, I'm sure other people...
Well, apparently it's a mixture of Bailey's Irish and Irish whiskey. And they mix it together and you scull it and it's called an Irish car bomb. I can say that nobody on the panel wants to try one.
We're all looking blanks.
No.
Well, we do have a message, actually,
do
from
we?
A listener. Yeah. Well,
two listeners.
Oh, lovely. And they regularly do message in. Dear Hello, Joy listeners. 94.9 Saturday Royalty. such a lovely day about Ireland and Irish food. Today at the Oldies home, they gave us Irish bangers and mash for lunch. They were made from tofu, though. At least they didn't get caught in our dentures. Thank you from the two old poofs. Much appreciated.
Thank you for that. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Irish bangers and mash.
So
bangers and mash out of tofu.
So the Irish sausage, I mean, that must be a very big and important part of the diet and eating and sausages.
Definitely. Bangers and mash is something everyone will eat on a regular basis.
Yeah, but we were talking about the pub culture before, which is an outstanding part, and it's translated so well around the world. I live in St Kilda, and there's a number of Irish pubs. Mm-hmm. And on, was it last week or the weekend before, St Patrick's Day, there were queues wrapped around places like the Fifth Province and other places. So the cuisine in Irish pubs, wherever you go around the world, there's always an Irish pub, and it's this really solid, down-home, very comfort food. But there's a new trend in Ireland as well to really up that and make it a real gastro pub, a really high-level experience. Talk to us about that.
Well, yeah, there has definitely been a lot of movement away from the just traditional pub grub, especially in the cities.
Tinker could probably talk more about that because he was there visiting.
Yeah, well, one thing I noticed that when I've been there, like the first time I went there, I went out to some places, and a lot of the pub grub was just sort of, you know, stuff that you get in, you know, big 20-kilo frozen boxes. This is your chips, this is your frozen pre-battered fish.
And you fry it.
Yeah, yeah. But as I've gone there, you see a lot more places. You know, I was checking out on Instagram, and they've got, you know, I went to this one place in Belfast that had this really nice steak kidney and Guinness pie with, you know, homemade puff pastry, and, you know, it was from the kidneys came from a local lamb producer, and the beef was again from a local producer, and they're, you know, really sort of doing that,
looking after Irish terroir.
Yeah. So just showcasing, this is, you know, this is what we produce from our area. Also noticed a lot of places are really getting on the sustainability slant, which is really, really good to see. Yeah, but it's, you know, very much like just what a lot of modern cities are doing. You know, everyone's talking, everyone's connected, everyone's Instagramming, everyone's showcasing really what they can do, and using, you know, using social media as a platform to get that out there, which is, I think, also great to see.
Yeah, as the Irish economy continues to improve, I think that sort of opens up that space for people to consume more, and so with increased demand, it's going to lead that. What do you? I don't want to get too political here. Brexit is going to change Ireland. In many ways.
Yes.
So definitely. Have you thought of opening up like a duty-free shop somewhere?
Well, it's still to be decided by the local politicians. There's a lot still to be negotiated. And no one really knows what the fallout will be in the end.
I think that there were some comments that maybe the vote was rigged by Facebook.
Russians.
Yes, well.
Russian hackers.
Well, we know that the majority of the people in the north voted against it, but because we are under British rule, you know, we have to be included in all of the UK votes. So,
right.
And there was talk about Europe maybe excluding us from the exit, but I don't think that's going to happen. But
because the Republic of Ireland will stay European.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Republic of Ireland is technically a different country.
Legally. Yeah. So it'll stay European, and Northern Ireland, British, will be Brexited. So it's going to be very interesting to watch what that's going to do. It's going to be confusing as hell.
It's very confusing, and no one really knows how it's going to turn out.
Or wants it.
Yeah, we'll see. Fingers crossed. Hope for the best.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
Now, we're back here on the Escape Hour with Russ, Mark and Fiona, and we're talking all things Ireland. Fiona, you would love to go to Ireland. I could just see you. I could see you there on St. Paddy's Day. I could see you doing the Irish Fling. And I think you would have a fantastic time.
Yeah, I'd dress up in flowing robes. And sort of waft around.
And you're doing the Kate Bush tour of Ireland.
Yeah, I'm doing the Kate Bush tour of Ireland. Now, I don't think Kate Bush was Irish, but...
No, but she had flowing robes.
But she had Stevie flowing
Nicks
robes.
Too.
I think that would be really beautiful. I'm a bit of a history buff. When I go visit countries, I love going to look at ruins and things. It's so exciting.
Well, we just heard about all the ruins in the break, didn't
we? Yeah. Well, Mev's going to tell us now about some of the fantastic ruins and things and historical sites you can visit in Ireland.
Yes, well, I was very lucky from where I grew up. It was a short distance to the North Antrim coast, which is home to a Dunluce Castle, which is a prehistoric castle that was once owned by Vikings. And it's this beautiful structure that is still well intact, and it's on an outcrop of rock just out from the coast, and it's got a cave that's underneath, and it's got this, it's just an amazing structure to go and see, and steeped in history and owned by the MacDonald clan.
Oh, they make the burgers.
Yes, but I think it's rumoured that the Daniel O'Donnell was distantly related to these kings. Then along the same coastline, it also has the Carcrae Rope Bridge, which is a famous rope bridge that people like to go. And it's a great little day out and have a picnic. And also we've got the Giant's Causeway based there, which is an absolutely incredible natural phenomenon that you can go and see. It's got these amazing hexagonal columns that rise up out of the ocean.
Wow.
Thousands and thousands of them, and legends associated with it.
Wow, that sounds so dramatic.
It does.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think it's one of the wonders of the world. Mm. It's a national heritage site. Yeah, it's incredible. Rumoured, or in Irish legends, it was supposed to be created by giants as a bridge over to Scotland to a Scottish giant and an Irish giant called Fionn Mac Cool, who heard about each other and wanted to challenge each other's strengths, and so built this bridge to come and you know, confront each other. But Fionn Mac Cool, upon seeing the Scottish giant, became afraid and realised he was bigger than he was, so he ran home and hid in his house, and his wife told him to get into the cot and pretend to be the baby. So
the baby was big.
Yeah, he was huge. So then the Scottish giant came over and saw that, well, if that's the size of the baby, I don't want to meet the giant. So he ran back to Scotland, dismantling the bridge as he went. And in Scotland, they have the same amazing structure on the other side.
That's the little legend. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I'm loving this folklore. It's fabulous.
It's really fun.
I didn't know the story, and that is just hilarious.
Yeah, that is a beautiful story.
I've always wanted to ask someone from Ireland about the Ring of Kerry. What is it? No idea.
We'll Google that and come back.
Sorry, I'm a bad travel agent. I'm throwing all of these things at you, and I should have heard
of it, unfortunately, but I don't know the history behind it.
No. That's more than fine. There are a lot of great deals going to Ireland at the moment, and people should grab flights while they can. And over this Easter break, we are seeing some great discounted airfares. And you know that you can fly to places like Dublin and Belfast for under $1,100.
It's outrageous.
And it's so cheap, and they're good airlines as well. So, you know, if you want to visit the Ring of Kerry, which Mark is looking up now for us, or you want to go to Dublin or Belfast, you should jump on these websites now or go and visit your local
travel agent.
And
sure.
Head to Ireland now. And look, you know, as a lovely Irish lass, are they called lasses in Ireland?
Yeah, you can do. Or
Colleens. You know, Colleens, okay. So you're a Colleen, and what does that make Tinker?
Boohill.
Oh, yes, he's a boohill, all right. Yes, it's lovely.
I get that all the time.
Tinker
Boohill and the lovely Colleen. I love it. Anyway, we must get you to keep talking because the listeners are listening, wanting to hear more of your Irish accent. So if you were going to take Tinker's family home for the first time, where would you take them?
Well, I would definitely take them 2 hours over to Donegal, along the west coast of Donegal. It's one of the most beautiful parts of the country and somewhere that I've spent a massive amount of my time growing up. It's just where the hills and mountains of Donegal meet with the Atlantic Ocean, and there's no shortage of beautiful beaches and lovely rural pubs and steeped in Irish tradition and still very strong Irish-speaking communities. I mean, if you're going to go anywhere, that's where I would go and spend loads of time. It's home to one of my favourite places in the world. It's a little rural village called Teelin. It's where I spent all of my summers growing up at an Irish language college that we went to, and we stayed with local families and we stayed there, and we would just go to the beaches all the time. We'd do study during the day, and it's also the site of Slieve League and Bunglass, which are one of the highest sea cliffs in Europe. So we would walk a few hours up into the sea cliffs, and it's just this beautiful, dramatic, sheer cliff down into the ocean, about 2,000 feet high.
Wow.
It's absolutely stunning, and there are hikers that come from all over the world and backpackers that come and do the hike and travel, and there's like a one-man pass that you can go this where the sheer drops on each side. It's absolutely stunning. And sounds I brought gorgeous. You there, yeah. didn't I? Yeah.
Cliffs like that should be described as conclusive because there's only one way to go. Down. And that's not down. That's hopefully not down.
You know, just listening to you, I just can't understand why you're not working at the Irish Tourist Board.
Well,
because you sound fantastic. Yeah, and you've got a real passion for Ireland.
Oh, I absolutely love it. And, you know, it's a huge part of who I am, for sure. And I think most people back home would feel that way. We do feel a huge identity with the land and with our culture, indeed. And it's great because you can go up there still and go to the local pubs and they'll have their little ceilidh nights and their traditional music nights. And just after we got married, we went and had a little ceilidh, which is an Irish traditional dancing night where everybody gets together and all the little old biddies get together and dance, and they were showing me all the different steps, and I know how to do some of them, but yeah, they're so friendly and they accept everyone and they'll show you how to do it, and it's really good crack, really worth doing.
Well, now, what does crack mean? Come on.
Crack means fun, means
right.
yeah, fun, a good fun, a good time, you know. The best thing you can say about someone is that they're good crack.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
We have a similar thing.
Yes, well, we won't go there, will we? Do people say top of the morning over there? Or?
No.
No, I don't know.
I have no idea where that's come from. It's very leprechaun-y. But
yes, right. What about these leprechauns? Are they real or is it?
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely real.
Yeah.
Right. There is one question that we do like to ask all of our guests on the show, because obviously you're travellers and you do travel a lot. I'll get Fiona to ask this question. It's all about how you like to pack, isn't it, Fiona?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, we ask a lot of our guests whether they like to pack or roll, fold or roll.
This is also the toilet paper question, isn't it?
But
we're still like packing that. For today.
Yeah. But we're talking about packing.
I'm a roller myself.
You're a roller. Well done.
Indeed, yes. But it does depend on the item of clothing, I find.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay, yeah.
Yes,
you've got to be flexible whenever it comes to packing.
And what about you, Tinker? Are you a roller or a folder?
I'm a roller and stuffer.
A roller and a stuffer.
Roll things up, stuff them into your shoes.
Yeah.
Stuff them into, you know, corners of the suitcase.
That's very important.
Now, we were talking a little bit before about how welcoming everyone is when you go into these smaller communities. But one thing we haven't really touched on is what would it be like for, you know, the LGBTIQ community, and what's the situation with marriage equality in Ireland?
In Ireland, marriage equality was actually achieved in 2017 at the referendum. Mm-hmm. In the Republic, yes.
Yeah, you're so very progressive, legal. Weren't you? You had a referendum which had very little drama? Or
no, there was a lot of...
Was there?
There was a lot of drama.
But it was led by a gorgeous drag queen, wasn't it?
Yeah, Panty Bliss.
That's right, Panty Bliss, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm very proud and pleased to say that it is legal in Ireland now at last. But
unfortunately, not in
the north.
Mm, the not DUP. Yet.
Yes, they cause issues.
Yeah, the DUP, far right wing, and very conservative.
Same sex has been legal since 1993. So
yes, same sex sexuality legal status was achieved in 1993. Gender identity expression with transgender people, they can legally change their gender by self-declaration since 2015. Civil partnership was achieved in 2010, and finally gay marriage was legalized in 2017. It's only a matter of time before we achieve it in the north as well. I know that particularly in my generation we are very passionate about it and very for it, and look forward to the day that we can also say proudly that it is now legal.
I had an affair with the most gorgeous Irish man in the 1990s, and I'll tell you what, he was good crack, I can tell you right now. So we're running out of time.
Stay tuned on Joy 94.9 all afternoon. We've got the Sounds of Summer coming up with Jacqueline and Dan. Jacqueline is one of the comedians at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. They're going to be talking all about the Comedy Festival. And after that, we've got Checkpoint with Luke and team, Geeks Out with the Dork Squad, which is Michael
Michael, Mark, Raina and Clayton. So we've got a huge afternoon here on Joy 94.9. So don't shift the dial.
No, we wouldn't want anyone to change the dial on this fabulous radio station. Now, guys,
sit riveted.
Again, where can we go and have this gorgeous food of yours? I'm going to come down for a bit of it's not... I can't get crack out of my head at the moment. Isn't that terrible?
Well, I think that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. Where are we going again? What's the...
Shop 4, Station Street, Moorabbin. Shop 4, number 6, Station Street, Moorabbin.
Oh, we'll be there, won't we, Phoebe?
Just across the road from the Moorabbin train station.
Oh, yeah. Chameleon Junction, CJ's for short. You can go and try the delicious Irish dish.
Baia fry.
I want the baia fry. That sounds great for a hangover, doesn't it?
It does.
Fiona, who's on the show next week?
We have...
Surprise.
Italy.
Oh, yeah, buongiorno.
We're Italy via Beechworth.
That works for all of us.
Yeah. So that's right. Going to be really lovely.
I'm down with
a guy
that.
Called Rocco, who has a restaurant in Melbourne and a restaurant in Beechworth.
Now, can we just have a farewell in Irish, please?
Slán oileo agus gura míle maith agaibh as mé a bheith ar an stáisiún seo inniu.
God, it's beautiful, isn't
Thank
it?
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We're off, and we will see you next week on the Escape Hour.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.